Welcome to the Grace Abounding broadcast, sponsored by the Shreveport Grace Church here in Shreveport, Louisiana. I'm Pastor Ken Weimer, and it is my privilege to bring to you again the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, both in word and song. May God graciously bless this word to your heart as you listen. Do you know what it means to be justified by God? In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, we read, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." I'm sure that there have been many definitions given, and I by no means can fully expound this important subject during the time that we have today. This matter of all that is involved in sinners being justified, that is, declared just, declared righteous before God. However, I'm sure that it means several things. It means to be eternally pardoned from all sin by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. When you hear people talking today about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, many refer to it so flippantly. But what did the Lord Jesus Christ accomplish by his death? Well, he accomplished the justification of everyone for whom he died, his people, that people that God the Father gave him. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, we read, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold," and there the apostles referring to redemption by what was written in the law, those fleshly, carnal, visible things concerning the tabernacle that were covered with silver and gold. That's not where redemption is. Those were types and pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he reminds them that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But now here it is, "but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot." So justification means to be pardoned from all sin by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It also means to be acquitted and vindicated of all charges before the holy justice of God. Now you think about that. Brought into God's court, accused of violation of his law, and who is not guilty? And yet, to be justified means that God himself, because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, finds no fault with the one that he justifies. It says, "Now unto him," and this is in Jude 24, "now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless," there it is, "without sin before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever." It means to be made and regarded righteous in God's sight. Listen as I read another portion of Scripture here in Colossians chapter 1 and verses 21 and 22. "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works," and those wicked works described in Scripture refer even to the best works that man can do. "You were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled, how? In the body of his flesh through death. For what purpose? To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That's the only way that a sinner can stand righteous before God. It's through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. By grace, which is the spring and fountain of justification through the work of Christ. Romans 3:24 says, justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Sinners are justified by Jesus Christ's sacrifice. In Romans 5:9, we read, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Also, justification is by his resurrection, which is the proof and evidence that God the Father accepted his sacrifice. In Romans 4:25, we read, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. In Scripture, when you see the word our, it's not referring to just anybody. It's referring to the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, made so by the Spirit of God. Not all are believers, many professors, but not all believers. A believer is one who has been regenerated from the deadness of his sins by the blessed Holy Spirit and causes to believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So justification, God justifying the sinner. God is the justifier, and it's by Jesus Christ's sacrifice. It's by his resurrection as the proof and evidence. And as our verse said as I began this broadcast, it's by faith. By faith as the means to receive this salvation in Christ. Now, faith does not add anything to the work of Christ, but the Scripture is clear that all that the Lord Jesus Christ died for, he will cause to come to himself in faith. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, these are precious truths, and we're going to take a little pause for a hymn which underscores this truth that I've introduced here, and then in a few minutes I'll be back to talk to you about four descriptions, four characteristics of justification before God. I hope you'll stay tuned. Well, I hope I can have your undivided attention for the next several moments as I talk with you about this important subject that I introduced earlier on being justified before God. I know perhaps the term doesn't mean much to somebody who doesn't realize themselves to be a sinner before God, but I pray that God would use this message by His Spirit to cause you to see that without this work of Christ, that you stand before God a guilty, hell-deserving, condemned sinner because of who you are. Being a sinner isn't so just because we sin. We sin because we're sinners, and we're all guilty in the court of law. We're all guilty before a holy God, and without God declaring the sinner righteous, that sinner is doomed to an eternal separation from God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So this subject of justification is important, not only because it's taught in Scripture, but because it is the only way that a sinner can stand before a holy God. Now let me give you four characteristics of justification, being justified, being declared holy, as we see it in the Scriptures. First of all, Scripture states that justification is a perfect gift. It's the gift of God. It's God declaring the sinner just, and it's a perfect gift. What I mean by that is that there are no degrees of being justified. You're either justified or you're not. From the moment that the Spirit of God does a work in the sinner's heart, what the Scripture calls regeneration, and the immediate result of regeneration is conversion. Now, the Scriptures talk about there being a growth in grace. I trust that if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is evidence of that growth in your life. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, Peter said, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." That's what growth in grace is. It's to come to understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is even more, to understand the efficacy of His work in behalf of the believer. And the more one grows in grace, the more one will see his sinfulness and his need of grace. He'll see, as he gets closer to the light, see just how evil and corrupt his own nature is, but then he'll grow to understand the preciousness of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in justifying him. So there is a growth in grace, but not in justification. Justification means that God looks upon the sinner in Christ. And that's the important thing here. We're talking about those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Those that are the objects of His work of redemption, those for whom He shed His blood, they stand before God just as perfect and holy and righteous as God Himself. That's an amazing thing. But that's exactly what the Scriptures teach. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 38, this was the declaration of the apostle: "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, through the Lord Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Here's a holiness that is just as holy as God Himself. Now you perhaps know certain groups that boast of a certain holiness that they strive for and that they work at, and they try to encourage you to get in line and to follow their rules and regulations and somehow make yourself holy. That's not how it is. Anything that is the result of man's works is anything but holy. It's corrupt, it's sinful, and an abomination to God. The only righteousness which God Almighty accepts for the sinner is that of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And justification is a perfect gift. You ever sit down and think about giving somebody something and you wonder, I wonder what would be the perfect gift? Well, justification is God's perfect gift through the Lord Jesus Christ, that righteousness that He worked out, that He gives to that people that He's chosen from all eternity to save. What a blessed truth. So that's the first characteristic, justification, the perfect gift. Then secondly, here's a second characteristic of justification. Justification is a purposed gift, a purposed gift. This doesn't just happen. I see these little bumper stickers that say grace happens or forgiveness happens. No, it doesn't. It's on purpose. Justification is a purposed gift. God, in the covenant of grace, and a covenant is a coming together of two parties. So this was God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit from all eternity. I'm talking about eternal matters here, but trying to explain them in a logical way. God, in the covenant of grace, purposed to save and to justify guilty sinners in Jesus Christ even before the foundation of the world, even before there was a sinner yet walking on this earth, even before Adam fell, even before the angels were created, even before Satan rebelled and was cast out of heaven, God had already purposed the salvation of His people. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 11, we read, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth." And then it says down in verse 13, "As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." Why did God save Jacob? Well, it was according to His eternal purpose. Why did He condemn Esau? Well, it was because Esau, like all of us, did not deserve anything but condemnation. Just like Jacob deserved God's condemnation. And yet, the reason why one was saved and one was not was because of God's eternal purpose. Over in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, we read, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him." And that here is talking about worshiping the false gospel, described as the beast. "All that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him." But then here's an exception clause, "whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Why do men worship false religion? Why do they follow the works of their own hands rather than trust Christ? And why do they die in that state? Well, it's because they're sinners, sinners before God. But there are those whose names are written in the book of life of the Lamb. It's not a literal book, but there's talking about the eternal purpose of God from the foundation of the world. And because of that purpose, he came and actually died. Just like in justification, in God's purpose, God purposed to justify sinners from the foundation of the world. And in time, he actually does give them that faith necessary to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and to believe on him. So justification is a purposed gift, a perfect gift and a purposed gift. Scripture is clear. It is not of him that willeth. We hear all this talk today about if you'll just be willing, if you'll just take that first step, if you'll just decide. No. Romans 9:16 says, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Ah, that he'd be merciful to a sinner such as you are, such as I am. Justification is a purposed gift. Then thirdly, justification is a purchased gift. God cannot just grant justification. If God is going to justify a sinner, God must satisfy, first of all, his own law. Otherwise, he wouldn't be just, would he? Can you imagine a criminal coming before a judge and the judge just looking the other way and turning them loose? That would be no satisfaction of the law. That would be a crime in and of itself. And so it is with God. God is just. He's a just God and a Savior. And so for him to justify the sinner, that means that he himself had to satisfy his own law on behalf of those sinners that he purposed to save. And then, that law being satisfied, he could justly acquit them. So that's why justification is a purchased gift. The justification of God's elect came at a great price to God himself. You think about that. He gave himself for the sins of his chosen people. If there's one verse in all of Scripture that I believe sums up this gospel message, and there is only one gospel, this is it that I'm declaring unto you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." There it is. What did it take for sinners to be made the very righteousness, holiness of God? Well, it's in him. It's in Christ. There was a transaction that took place. God made his eternal Son to be sin for those that he died for. Now, that's hard for us to understand. He didn't actually become a sinner, but the sins of his people that stood between God and his people, those sins were placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like in the Old Testament, the sin of the people was ceremonially transferred to that scapegoat. So here, God judicially put the sins of his people upon his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the sin bearer. And it says he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He did not actually become a sinner, yet as being the sin bearer, God struck him down. But why did he do it? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, salvation is by imputation. The sins of God's people put to the substitute, and the substitute's righteousness put to God's people. Justification is a purchased gift. And God has purchased the church with his own blood. Over in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, that's exactly the language that's used by the Apostle Paul as he addresses the elders there. He says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." As I was preaching that not too long ago, a man wrote me taking exception to that statement. He said, "God doesn't have blood." Well, the God-man does. And what it means is that as a man, he had to lay down his life in the place of every person that God the Father had given to his charge. That's not everybody, but it's everyone that God has chosen. And so Christ laid down his life. That's his humanity. "A body thou hast prepared for me." God cannot die. But also, if Christ were just a man, then he couldn't satisfy God. So he's the God-man. That's the mystery of godliness. But nevertheless, the Scripture calls it God's blood. And then finally, the fourth point here, justification is a permanent gift. It's a perfect gift. It's a purposed gift. It's a purchased gift. And it's a permanent gift. Once justified, always justified. Now, that's not saying the same thing as people today say, "Well, I believe once saved, always saved." What they usually mean by that is once they've made their decision or walked an aisle or said the sinner's prayer, that now that means they're saved no matter what they do. That's not what the Scriptures teach. It's not in walking an aisle. It's not in making a decision or saying a repeated prayer. No, we're talking about a great work here of justification, whereby God himself declares the sinner righteous through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only does it legally, but it's Christ's work not only for the sinner, but in the sinner. Puts within that sinner the very Spirit of God and turns him from himself to Christ. And once justified, always justified. A believer can never be unjustified, because justification in Christ covers past, present, and future sins. It gives the believer rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, complete deliverance, and full assurance from all condemnation. And that's how the believer walks the rest of his days, in that justification. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, we read, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh." You hear that? It's not a matter of claiming this and saying, "Okay, I'm justified, so here I go, I'm going to live on in sin." No, "who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." The Spirit of God will not allow the believer, the justified one, through Christ, to live in sin. He's going to cause him to live for the glory of God and the glory of his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, I don't know how to say it any clearer. That's what it is to be justified. And my prayer is that you, dear listener, know something of this and rejoice in it.
You've been listening to the Grace Abounding broadcast, sponsored by the Shreveport Grace Church. I'm Pastor Ken Weimer. We meet as a church at 2970 Baird Road, Shreveport, Louisiana, 71118. Our times of meetings begin at 10 a.m. on Sundays and again at 6:30 p.m. on Wednesdays. You're most welcome to join us for these regular times of worship. If you'd like more information about our church or like a recorded copy of today's message, please contact me either by telephone at 318-834-4395 or by mail at P.O. Box 5028, Shreveport, Louisiana, 71135. You may also contact us on the website at www.shrevegrace.org. Thank you for listening and plan to join us again for our next broadcast at this same time.